horizon. Good afternoon. Good evening. Welcome to another episode of Somewhere Between the Moon. I am Beloved. I first want to begin this episode off by giving reverence to Chadwick Boseman, who recently transitioned. So I want to begin this episode just just leaving off with a quote by him. It reads, "Purpose crosses disciplines. Purpose is an essential element of you." So I give thanks to Chadwick Boseman for all that he's done, for giving us these iconic figures that were, you know, here before us, of course, but it was like, as we watched him, I know for me personally, I felt like I knew the character, and at the same time, I knew Chadwick. I personally feel like, you know, he was just a genuine brother. Like, he cared about his people. He cared to, you know, educate his people. He was a light, you know? So, I give thanks for just having that understanding. I give thanks to just be able to, you know, see him, you know, hear his words. But with that, we should all just, you know, recognize that life is just one part, as well as death. And those two, you know, aspects of it shouldn't be undermined or negated. Where there's one, there comes another. You know, a yin and a yang, a balance of the two, you know. So, I give thanks personally, and I give thanks to all that have transitioned throughout this life. I know that life is just, it's just vast, man, and it's not a linear thing, so us trying to, you know, comprehend certain things is, you know, it's interesting, but life is too vast to just comprehend in such a short time. But what we do in a short time will matter to future generations. So, yeah. So, this podcast episode, and I know I've been away for some time. I've just been to myself, you know, I've been, reflecting quite a bit. I've been building even more. I've been building for some years now, but, you know, I feel with just, you know, just being to yourself, you're taking time to yourself, outweighing the good and the bad, you know, because it's always a balance, you know. I feel that it's time for me to just, you know, put foot in the gas regarding everything that I do. More art, more setting things up regarding art, more podcasts, because I feel I have these conversations with myself and or, you know, my social media platforms, but I feel, you know, I've hindered myself to hold these conversations, but I know that these conversations are needed, hence why I created this platform to begin with. But I feel the space I was in, I wasn't able to produce these episodes. So, I came outside today. I've been out here for about, let's say, I want to say 3 hours now. Just reading, I have here Blood in My Eye by George L. Jackson and Steve Biko. I write what I like. So I've just been out here, you know, just embracing the sun, doing a little bit of sun gazing, you know, just getting fresh air. I feel if we spend too much time, especially during this quarantine, just cooped up in the house, you know, binge watching our favorite shows, going against our diet here and there, you know, indulging in too much social media, and I feel that we negate ourselves, right? We negate feeding ourselves what we actually need, you know, true sustenance, proper hydration, proper foods, proper literature, you know, things that, you know, that get us right back to, we can say, perfect alignment or conducive alignment. And so while I've been out here, Dragonfly had been sitting here. It just left, but prior to that, it was out here with me for about 40 minutes, close to an hour. So I had to research the actual symbolism behind dragonflies, because it intrigued me. Like, why would this dragonfly just sit here and not move through the wind moving? It's been nice breezes all while I've been out here, and it hasn't moved. And if it did, it would come right back to the exact same spot. So I had to research the symbolism behind the dragonfly. So it said change, transformation, self-realization, adaptability. And all of these things resonated within me. Just looking back in my life, I recognized massive transformation. I embraced change. You know, realizing my purpose with each day of, you know, the, you know, reflection and introspection that's been going on throughout this entire process. Adapting to the climate of now. I feel as Black people, we are constantly bombarded with society, right? How they view us, how we view each other. We are constantly bombarded with an enormous amount of perspectives and opinions by those that aren't us. And we absorb them. We absorb those things that we tell ourselves that aren't true. And we begin to create these ideologies about ourselves that aren't true, that are just based on others' opinions or others' lives. So tying those things all together made total sense to me, and it totally resonated with me. And, as I stated before, this platform is for us. It is for us to be educated, to heal, to share perspectives and opinions void of judgment. It is for our liberation. It is for our personal revolution as well as the collective revolution. It all starts with us. And we can only receive or achieve and or obtain revolution or liberation through our own liberation, our own mental liberation. You can't edify someone if you haven't edified yourself. You can't influence someone unless you've influenced yourself. You can't heal someone. You have to heal yourself. And then by doing so, you'll be able to be present for someone that needs healing. All right? So marinate on that. Feel that, receive that. But let's get to the meat of the episode. A topic that I've been wanting to have But again, I have been in this weird space, this weird funk, where I've just been to myself. So I'm grateful to be out of that, slowly but surely. It may come back, the funk may come back, it may just pop up. But I felt that since I'm feeling really good, I'm feeling really grateful, I'm feeling, you know, just vibrant and you know, feeling that I will have this discussion right now. And with that, I am, of course, always open to any and all perspectives and opinions regarding any topic. Please, if you are, as you listen to this episode, please reach out to me and we can get it started. Also, I do plan this week to reach out to any and all who have reached out to me and have sent me topics for future episodes. All beautiful topics, all beautiful perspectives. I will be reaching out to you all this week so that we can properly plan and curate an episode for you all. So I give thanks to all of you. So today's topic is about education and the need and or lack of it, but specifically the education of sex, sexual education, and how it plays a part in our growth and development. We are all on social media. We are all on these platforms where we can connect with one another, where we can share our perspectives, where we can share our thoughts and the now, right? So, we have an understanding of this, right? We have these platforms again, right? And with these platforms, you see everything, like, in real time. And forgive me for my pauses. This is really off just the top, right? I've written some things down, some small points, but it's really off the top. I've come to an understanding, or, you know, just a realization that people don't want change in its totality. They want the change that'll benefit them. The selfish change. Not change that will benefit the collective of black people globally, but change that will get them to a different level and leave people in these boxes and spaces where they can't receive said change. I say that because in regards to sexual education, I've been on my timeline on Twitter countless times where the discussion was about a black woman presenting a specific issue regarding, let's say, rape or coercion, consent. And you see constant replies of men, black men, and you just see the combativeness. You see the lack of empathy, compassion. You just see innate dismissal of anything regarding this issue that a black woman speaks about, right? Why is that? Right. So to my sisters out there, please, please understand this discussion is always about you. You are always included in any of my discussions. Though at the same time, this message and/or podcast is specifically geared towards black men. I am a black man, so I have to, you know, make that clear. Because the issue is never with you. I want you all to understand that. The issue is never with you. You have an overstanding of these situations. A huge majority of black men do not want to have an understanding. I'll say that again. To black women, you have an overstanding of this particular issue. Have always and will always. Black men collectively, right, do not want to have just an understanding of this particular issue. Why is that? I've broken this down just from my perspective of just going through life, right? Just going through life. 26 years. Still growing, still learning. Still willing to be educated. I've broken it down into three things. Maybe four or five, right? I have here the household. I have the household. I have media. I have music. Okay. Let's put down influence. Influence, sirs. Let's put down that. In regards to sex, we understand that in black households, sex is a taboo. You do not talk about it. You put a veil over sex. Don't talk about it. It's not discussed. It's no want to discuss. You understand? When an issue arises in many black households regarding sex, it's brushed away. It's swept under the rug. Why is that? Why is it that there's a major distinction regarding sex from black boys and black girls? Why is it that for black boys, boys will be boys? Why is it that with black girls is she's fast? She asks for it. It's because how she's dressed. Major distinctions, right? Why is that? I make the argument regarding the household is that we live in a patriarchal and misogynistic society. Everything in this society is geared towards men, the power of men, the subjugation of women. Hence, many of the narratives that are perpetuated throughout our households, throughout our communities, since our inception to America. See, this goes back very deeply. Media, news outlets, TV. We understand, we watch the shows all the time. Right? I'm not going to pinpoint specific shows because we know the specific shows. We watch them, we were raised on them. News, you know it, was shown. We're showing violence of our people, you know, constantly to desensitize us. We think it's normal. We feel nothing. We do nothing. It's the normality, so we walk with it. It's fine. Music. Now, we love hip-hop. We love, I wouldn't even call it today's hip-hop. We listen to music, right? The majority of the music that is out is misogynistic. Yet we nod our head to it. We go to clubs listening to it, right? These are subtle things. And again, I'm not an expert. I'm not any of those things. I just pay attention to my own personal life, and then I make correlations to, you know, certain issues. And I was only able to be educated because I had to look back at my life at these specific things. Okay. Now that I'm on the subject of just speaking from my own personal experience, I have to touch on my own personal experiences. I was raised in a household that was beautiful. The foundation was powerful. Certain concepts that were given to me were edifying and uplifting. I've always been a caring individual, one of my earliest instances as far as, you know, interaction with people, my mother tells me that I had to be about 3, and that I believe she said one of the children at the school I was going to, who was in pre-K, one of the children, parents had to leave, of course, to, you know, drop their kid off. And my preschool teacher said to my mom that I went over to the child and just told him that everything would be okay, that their mother would come back. So, I understand that and I grasp that. Why? Because I recognize that people are inherently good. It is the influences or the construct of society is what can deter a person from that inherent good space, right? So I say that to say this, and this is an analogy that I walk with, and it says, I've curated this. Though you may have a powerful household, a household that's full of love and all these beautiful things, right? You still have to leave home. What do I mean by that? You are still subject to your peers, your media, your music, just subtle things that can, again, sway that inherently good person to look at or view specific things in the world as, you know, whatever, things that wouldn't be good. And you don't question it because, you know, that's the normality of certain things. So let's get back to the, you know, I want to get to the root causes, the education part in regard to sexual education. I've made this comment on statement on my Twitter, and it says, I can't remember it verbatim, but I'll summarize it. And I spoke about sexual education and how I feel we should have sexual education courses early on, appropriately, of course. Though I feel that it's very much so necessary. Me personally, I didn't have a sexual education course until I was in 6th grade. And it was about just the anatomy. In 6th grade, you're just a kid. You're laughing at different things and this and that. But it wasn't even by I want to say a sex ed teacher. My first sexual education, course or whatever, again, was in 6th grade, but it was given by an art teacher, right? And then, you know, going through my life, I never had a sexual education course. So I want everyone to really grasp that. And look, that then, once you grasp that, let's look at the totality of Black people in America or globally regarding sexual education. Let's ask each other, when did we or have we ever had a proper and or conducive sexual education course? And I'm not just specifically just talking about anatomy. I'm talking about all of these things, sexual education. And again, regarding sexual violence, what are the laws? What are, you know, so many things. We are not educated on these things. And I'm touching on Black boys into Black manhood. So if all of our education and or understanding about sex comes from a patriarchal and or misogynistic view or standpoint, how do you think Black boys will become Black men, and how would they maneuver with women regarding sex? If the normality of how they view sex comes from the music, which says drug your women, beat your women, you know, women are hoes, women are sluts. These are normal. We know it. We're adults. We listen to the exact same music that says this, you know. So we can't then negate what the music says, because the music is created by these artists, and these artists are heavy influencers in our community, right? So we have to understand that the certain messages that are in the music has a direct correlation to how children maneuver. We can't negate that, right? Our peer group. What are our peer groups doing, right? How many black boys are without a strong male role model, right? We understand many of our parents have to work overnight. So after school, there are no recreation centers to develop black boys. There are no male figures in the communities except for other children. And I say children, they could be teenagers, but we may view them as adults because they're doing different shit, right, that adults do. So we think that's normal. We think that's how we are supposed to move. And you'd be amazed at if we just did a survey, how many black boys that are, you know, men now will tell you that they didn't have a male role model. Why? Because of the community, poverty stricken. They are only able to receive an income by governmental assistance, right? If they want to try to get another means of employment, they are subject to the lowest of low jobs. The jobs don't pay enough, so they turn to a life of crime, which can give them the money, but at the same time can give them a prison sentence. So are there many options for black boys to develop into proper, educated black men? On a major, large level, some may say yes, there is. Some may say no, depending on the situation, right? So let's say it's a 50-50, right? Let's say it's a 50-50. The 50% that will progress in the society and be positive male role models for future black boys, and then there's another 50% that have the ability to be detrimental figures towards black boys as well as black women, black girls, black women, right? As well as themselves. So it's a 50-50. And that's not a probability I agree with. I would like that a larger majority of black men are progressive and are healing our communities and are defending black women, right? But it comes with education. And we have to be honest that the educational system is not about edifying black boys. It was never made for that purpose. Now we have pockets here and there of, you know, teachers, specific teachers, or I'm going to put them in a bubble. We have teachers that have this urge to teach black boys, right? Guidance counselors, we all know, right? That want to teach black boys how to be positive influences in their communities. But on a large scale, the system of the education, right? It was never for that purpose. So you have the teacher combating the system, and you have the child going to the system to be educated. So he may have a total of, let's say, 8 teachers, and that one teacher that gives a fuck. But he has 8 others. He has 7 others that don't. It's a interesting paradox. Again, we have to really grasp that. We have to really grasp that, you know, we live in a society that's heavily patriarchal. We live in a world that's heavily patriarchal and misogynistic. And those effects directly target black boys. Right? We have to understand that. We have to really take objective looks into that. Now, I'm not one to victimize black men. I'm not going to do it. I just wanted all of us to take that objective look into just a small few things. And again, I'm no expert, but I'm just paying attention to my life and others' lives. And then looking at history, and it adds up. But I will not victimize black men. I will not put you in my crosshairs and tell you that your lack of empathy, your lack of compassion, your lack of awareness is a direct correlation to your own destruction. If you do not want to change, you will be destroyed. You will destroy your own self. That's the reality. I think we often feel education is some, growing up, we think it's weird, it's nerdy, it's uncool. Being dumb is cool. Following a crowd is cool. We've all done it. We've all lessened ourselves. We all dimmed our light to fall into specific groups, especially high school. Come on. We know it. Let's get into it, though. Y'all still with me? I hope y'all still with me. Let's get into it. Why is rape culture the normality regarding interactions with men and women? Again, do we look at the society and how they view sex? Do we look at our own lives and the interactions we've had with people and our own families and how they view sex? Does it all tie into how we begin to view sex? Again, the media, your peers, your influences, how they view sex, do we then tie it in? When we are in high school, how the jocks and all these people that are in power, mostly men, how they view sex, is that how we begin to view sex? I make the argument that is very much so, yes. There is a lack of understanding what is and what is. Simple, what is and what is. And those that are educated on it are mostly women. Because in regards to sex, sexual assault, sexual harassment, coercion, rape, sexual violence, period, women are affected by it the most. Ask yourself personally, of the women you've, and this is again to black men, ask yourself of the women that you've, you know, dated in your life, how many of them have been assaulted sexually? I know me personally, women would tell me about their lives and certain things in their lives. And it will fuck me up. Right? So we have to begin understanding, why is this so normal? And why is the life of black women so devalued? Why are we so desensitized to trauma and violence, traumatic situations? Why? Do we not feel anymore? Are we comfortable with not feeling? I make that argument. Most definitely, I would. It should affect you, black man. that your own family members may have been a victim of said traumas. And henceforth, the addressing of issues regarding black women should affect you. They shouldn't just be on your mind solely because it's someone, you know, you date. It should be all across the board with any black woman that you come across in life, any black woman that you come across on social media. If she presents an issue, you shouldn't become dismissive. You shouldn't be combative to her issues. Just from understanding that in your own household, something could have happened to a black woman in your life. Understanding what she went through. So you know how to be present for others. That's a simple, I try to simplify everything in my life just so I can come to a better understanding. And that's what it should be. Just understanding a specific way. Excuse me. Just understanding that someone in your life could have went through something should bring about compassion and empathy. So when you see it again perpetuated on a mass scale regarding all black women that have been affected by specific traumas, it should be innate with you. You should get it. Be present. Education. Right? We know the system is not built for us regarding sexual education. So we have we are then susceptible to perpetuating harm if we are not educated. Ask yourself, when have you had a sexual education course? When has anyone taught you about laws regarding sex? When? That should be the main thing, and this is exactly what I mean when I say, and how I feel personally. This is my subjective, thoughts. And I just feel personally, if we began to, again, appropriately educate our young black boys, young black girls on sexual education, not just the anatomy, right, of the human body, but everything that encompasses sex, right, from law to engagement of sex, communication about sex, right? Sexual violence. What does it look like by many of scholars that we have in the black community, right? We can begin to shift the minds of young black boys so they don't become detrimental figures in black women's lives. Black boys need to be taught about age of consent, coercion, rape. You understand? I found another term recently, just, you know, educating myself. Stealthing, that is when you remove a condom unknowingly of a person that you're interacting with self. That's a form of rape. Okay? So you must educate yourself. That is the only way that you will begin the process of your own healing. That's the only way you're going to be present for anybody. Otherwise, since you've been brought up in this patriarchal society, whenever a black woman presents an issue to you, it's innate with you to react. Right? You have to be combative because that's all you know. Everything, all your life, certain things have been geared towards you, so that's all you know. All you're willing to do is combat. All you're willing to do is argue. Instead of looking at your own life and realizing your own damn shortcomings, you want to argue. You don't want to be present because it's too hard. You don't want to be present because accountability forces you to look at yourself in your own life. And that's going to separate from the boy. That's going to separate the boys from the men. That's going to separate those who really want our collective liberation and those who just want to piggyback and play games. I'm fucking tired of playing games. I'm tired of seeing grown ass men saying shit with their grown ass and dismissing black women's issues. I had this discussion with one of my friends, and we were discussing the fact that many black boys are sexually assaulted at very young ages. They are introduced to sex at very young ages, so certain behaviors are normalized and they think it's okay, because those that harm them made it so. This is okay. Certain things are okay. So imagine that little black boy going through his life thinking certain shit is okay. And then when he gets older, when he starts seeing things, he wants to be combative, because he couldn't be combative when certain things were happening to him. But we gotta begin to change that way of thinking. And the reality is, I made this statement before, is that many adults are too far gone. You know, where you see people when they are actively like that, when they are actively combative and things like that, overly dismissive and things like that, that's where they at, and that's where they're gonna be. Okay? That's where they're going to be. Because it's very hard to tell yourself, you know, just taking objective looks in your own life, that you could have went wrong at any given point. And that's the reality for black men. But I'm not going to hold your hand, because nobody held my hand in my own growth. You had to be willing to take those steps. And black women do not need to hold your hand in your own growth and development. That's the reality. You want somebody to hold your hand. But it's not their duty to hold your hand. It's not their job to do it. And to really, you know, make this thing, because again we see this discourse about certain things not being my issue, or the not me's. Right, we see it a lot. We see the not me's. I didn't do it. So just because you're not a perpetuator of sexual violence, that means that you're not susceptible to perpetuating it. That's what that means, because you didn't do it. Were you educated on it? No, I wasn't educated on it. Right. So because you're not educated, no, doesn't that mean that you have the ability at any given point to perpetuate an act of sexual violence? I make that argument that you could. Because if you don't know, you have the potential or the ability to do so. And that's the reality. That's what black women are trying to get your dumb ass to fully grasp. The accountability to take into account what somebody else is saying, so that it can have an effect on your own life, so you can begin to make those changes within yourself. That is the point. You see too much of these bullshit arguments about the not me. Don't generalize black men. Well, what the fuck, what are you talking about? You're so concerned about generalizations that you negate the actual topic at hand. If it's not you, just continue to do work. Continue to educate. Continue to be present. Ask the necessary discussions. Hold other black men accountable. If it's not you. If it's not you. But you see, these things come with education, growth, and development. It shouldn't. this thing frustrates me. It frustrates me a lot. You know something I told myself? Is that throughout my journey, throughout this journey of just, you know, growth, honing in on growth, recognizing purpose, I separated myself from so many people. Many people thought something was wrong with me. They didn't know why I was maneuvering like the way I was, talking, speaking about certain things. But I think that alone scares many black men. Because the moment that you step outside of conformity, shit, it's like a light bulb in your fucking brain. Shit just start, like shit that you used to do, it makes no fucking sense. You question every fucking thing. You begin your own healing process. Conforming is comfort to an extent, right? Stepping outside of that box is scary. But this is not a space where somebody gotta hold your fucking hand. You're grown. You're a grown ass man. So how you view sex and how you view women in a detrimental manner, it has to die. Your patriarchal ideals have to die. Your misogynistic values have to die. They gotta go. Otherwise, you'll get left behind and you'll destroy yourself. You don't need nobody else to destroy you. We know about society, but how long do we hold on to that? We know about white supremacy, but how long do we hold on to that? When do we start taking accountability as to what we do, how we maneuver, how other black men maneuver? When do we do that? Or will we continue to hold on to white supremacy as some sort of crutch? We know the history of white supremacy. We know it intricately. But that doesn't negate the fact that we perpetuate the same ideals, the same acts, the same brutality as white supremacists. On to the only people on this planet that will defend us at any given moment. They defend you while you're harming them. Grasp that. Understand that. You know, the reality for me was, you know, just recognizing at any given point in my life, I could have been detrimental to women in my life because I had to do self-healing. I had to do work, shadow work, take accountability. And none of those things were comfortable. Some things were ugly. I had to recognize that that little black boy was not healed. I internalized a lot of the shit that, you know, went down throughout my life. You know, I had to recognize that communication was lacking within my own self. And I saw that with, you know, the partners I would have. Communication lacked, you know, impulsive behavior, spewing rhetoric, just being angry all the time. You know, I was raised on, you know, respecting women. And that's what I've always done throughout my life. Though, that doesn't mean I'm void of critique. Critiquing my own self. That doesn't mean that. So just recognizing that throughout my own life, the many ways that I was lacking, the many ways that I needed to heal, helped me to build the man that I am today. Only through accountability and reflection and introspection was I able to be able to have this conversation with you today. Right? We shouldn't, again with sexual education, we shouldn't be receiving sexual education courses at 18 when many black boys are already sexually active. Okay? So this is just my subjective, thoughts and things like that. But I feel it's a necessity. I feel it has to be. It has to be there. Okay. I really don't see any other way. But education has to be prevalent. Black boys need to be educated on what is rape, what is consent, what is coercion, what is age of consent. All these things. Many of us are active at early ages. We don't even know what sex is, but we're active in it. Okay? We actively having sex. Okay? That's the reality for black boys and girls in America or globally. Okay? We gotta grasp that. We can't run away from that. So how we view sex stems from just these small things, and it's many other bullet points that we could touch on. I just named those three because that's what came off in my head, just off the top. Media, your peers, what you're intaking with music, your influences, your household, and how they view sex. Understanding that we are in a patriarchal society. Okay? And this is the reality, man. Like, you gotta cut the bullshit. You can't be out here grown saying stupid shit. You can't be out here grown and think you're gonna have kids and then attempt to defend your kids, but not educate them. We see this a lot where, you see a discussion where people say, what if it was your mom? You see what I'm saying? Like, that protection of your mom should go to a woman that you don't know. And it shouldn't be one of those things where we gotta play devil's advocate. Like, we gotta balance the scale. It should be innate. You should have a natural inclination to defend, to protect any black woman. Not just one that you find attractive. Not one that you just know. You understand? Should be all across the board. There shouldn't be any pushback with that. But again, it comes with education. It comes with recognizing what it is you actually value. How do you view sex? Do you objectify women? Do you sexualize women in every instance that you're in? Have you healed from your own childhood traumas? But I will always, again, come back to the education and how I feel if we begin to address the educational issue regarding sex, right? If we address the issues regarding sex in our black boys and our black girls appropriately at early ages, we can, I genuinely feel we can begin to see so many shifts. We can raise black men and black women that, are automatically open to healing and spreading proper information. We can truly end this rape culture that is so so deeply embedded into black boys' minds. If they are uneducated, they have the ability to continue to perpetuate it. That's the reality. That's why you see so many people being combative, because they don't know. Or they just, arrogant and pieces of shit. Okay? That's the reality of it, man. If you don't want to educate yourself, you will destroy yourself. You're just a bomb waiting to, blow up. You gotta destroy any self-hate within yourself. You gotta heal that little black boy. You got to separate from those that are into these specific things, that see no issue with it. Yes, you are a product of your environment, but you also have the ability to educate yourself. You don't have to move with things that aren't conducive to you, that aren't progressive, that aren't edifying. You don't got to move with those things. But you first got to recognize that it's an issue. That's what you need to do. You gotta understand that this society that we in, it runs deep, man. Our ancestors dealt with the same shit. We're taught many of the same things. Okay? So, again, if anyone is open to having a longer discourse about education in regards, again, to sexual education, please reach out to me. Please, this is a platform. I've curated this platform for us all. No matter your perspectives or opinions, no matter your background, your religion, your political ideologies, your sexual orientation, none of those things will stop you from being a part of this podcast. I genuinely feel discussions need to be made prevalent. Regardless if you agree with someone's perspective or not. But in order to bring about the necessary changes within our communities, we have to be open to these discussions. I know why during the 70s so many black organizations thrived in the 60s as well as the 70s. I know why they thrived, because they were open to talk. We got to get over this taboo that talking is some type of weird thing, where communication is this thing that we just don't do, that we, again, put under the rug. Those, all that shit got to be dismantled. You cannot have no liberation if you're not willing to communicate. You cannot have no liberation if you actively subjugate your black women. You can't have liberation if you are continuously perpetuating cycles that are detrimental and dangerous to your people. Work is never easy. And I honestly don't give a fuck if you feel a way about it. I don't care if you feel uncomfortable. Black women should not be feeling uncomfortable just going to the store in fear that they may be sexually harassed. You have to address it in yourself as to why, black man, why it is okay to talk to women how you think it is. Why? Catcalling, all the other bullshit, issues in the workplace. Again, how you address sex in your own personal engagements with women. Is sex this tangible concept, or is it just this quick sensation that we attach to nothingness? What is it to you? And if it's nothingness, you have the ability to cause harm. Absolutely. Is it the influences? Is it the media? Is it the music you're absorbing that gives you this false sense of power that you feel you can perpetuate? Are you uneducated? And my apologies, everyone, if I've been, you know, just rambling. Again, everything is completely off the top. I only have